Oh, let's go to Ecclesiastes 8 for a change. Seems like we've been there forever. Oh, Tom was in.
Every morning I get the Bible with this $100.
Must be a sign.
Money is coming your way.
Well, sometimes you get the one with the other half.
We're talking a man's. Again, we have to come back to the. It says, "Who is the wise, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine." That's what we've been on forever. And we found out that that's not just a metaphorical statement, because the shining became so bright in Moses' case that there had to be a veil that exists until today, if you understand. And we found out something more important. We found out that there never has to be anyone between you and God. And now that... And it has nothing to do with let's talk about that. We saw that before the law was given, we saw that the covenant had already been made with Israel, but they didn't want it because they were afraid. We saw that, in essence, every man wants a veil over their face when the scriptures are read. Why?
Afraid of death.
It means our death.
Space for the devil.
There's a mystery that has been hid from all ages and all generations since the beginning of time, since the beginning of man. And the mystery is that you're not your God. You're not your own God. And the government is not supposed to be on your shoulders. But as long as you have somebody else to blame, i.e. Moses or anybody else, then you can retain in yourself the illusion of accusing or excusing and maintain control. But if it's only you and God, then you have no excuse. And this is why Jesus said, "Had I not come and spoken unto them, they would have had no covering for their sin." Now why? I mean, this was a culture that preached sin. I mean, that everything about it, the hundreds of offerings every day were for the atonement of sin. And yet Christ said these incredible words, "Had I not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin." Now, what's going on here?
He spoke face to face.
Right, but why do you want somebody in between you and God?
I can blame with somebody.
Huh?
I can blame with somebody.
You can. This is basic to the nature of Adam.
Well, we know that all that we know of God is what we know right here. My thought is that if you can fool the God who's making the sacrifice for you, maybe you can convince yourself you can fool God too. And that's all you know of God also.
What causes people to run to and fro? What causes hundreds of thousands of people to go hear somebody? I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's some rock star who I can't think of any names right off the hand, off the bat. There must be a name up here of a rock star. Or a movie star. Or a preacher.
I already came here for you.
Yes, that's the problem. Now, why do you have to? The promise is made already. It's done. It's a done deal. And why all this crap going on? Why do you love time? Why do you love the darkness more than the light? I'm not speaking rhetorically.
I think if somebody else lays their life down, then you can kind of think, well, that's, he did that, and I agree with him, so I'm okay. You get that feeling of security.
And we want to be in the reflective light, not in the real light, and that's why we go to rock stars and movie stars and other things like that. We don't want to be in the light, but we want to be somewhere by it.
But why?
We can identify with them?
No, we can stay alive.
You can remain an observer by staying alive. You can set, you can, if it's obviously that, you know what I think about being an observer of anything, but if you have if you have anything, and you can't read this Bible honestly, you can't read it with any kind of integrity and come to any other conclusion other than there's nothing that I can do. If you read this Bible from beginning to end, you find out that you cannot meet the standard. You can't do it. It can't be done. And that's what I talked about last night. The idea and the reason that this Terry Schiavo case was so compelling to the world was that state of total and complete helplessness and total and complete dependency is the state that God desires, and yet everything in you refuses to go there. Why? Because you're still on the path of thinking that there's something over the next hill, or there's some issue. It's like the Psalm of Ascent, when you know you look up to the hills for your solution. What Psalm is 127? Is that what it is?
One of those numbers.
It says, it says, I used to long to hear their voices there, now I know I never will, because there's no answer over the hill. There's no one you can go to get life. There's no one that you can go to. There's no place that you can travel to. There's no book that you can read. There's no magazine that you can see. There's no television show that you can watch. There is no place for you to go once you have finally seen that the wisdom, the basis of wisdom that makes your face to shine, the basis of wisdom is that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination unto God. And if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now, these are seminal issues. This is why the gospel cannot be heard by anyone until they are at the end. Why isn't? Why did Christ say that? Had I not come and spoken unto them, they would have a covering or a cloak for their sin. Now, they have no cloak. And if somebody is preaching the word to you, there will be no more cloak. There will be no one else you can blame. There will be no issue that you can deal with. You have to come to the conclusion that your life is a joke. Everything. Your life is the fading flower, the withering grass. There is nothing, nothing, nothing that you can do. You try all of these things and all of these devices to try to continue to be in control, to continue to stay alive, to continue. And you find out that God says, except you be converted and become as that little child, you can nowise enter the kingdom of God. Except you pick up your cross and abandon yourself, you can't be his disciple. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's nothing left to learn. There's nothing left to do. The night has come and no man can work. There's nothing you can do to gain your identity. There's nothing you can do to realize your potential. So as long as the scriptures are read, the veil is still in their eyes because they still believe that something is going to take place in which they will be fixed. So as long as that is the case, then the veil is always over the scriptures so that you can only see yourself, and you will subconsciously use them for that path of self-realization. Is it the next job? Is it the next promotion? Is it the next kid? Is it the next grandkid? Is it the next morning? Is it the next book you read? Is it the next scripture you read? Are you going to get it then? No. As long as you think that it's going to happen, then the veil is over your face. Do you see the importance of what I'm trying to say? There is no understanding as long as you're on the path towards anything. If you have any, if you have a course of action by which you have predetermined it, then the only reason you would have done that is to gain something from it. And so as long as that course of action, even coming to Bible study, is to gain something from it, then the veil is over your eyes. You can't hear, you can't see, you may hear for a second, but straight away you will walk out and forgetteth what manner of man you were. And so it just continues.
It's the whole spiritual growth thing.
Yeah, there is no such thing as it's spiritual Darwinianism. Spiritual evolution, which is just goofy. You're going to get it tomorrow? Is tomorrow morning's Bible study? Are you going to go hear somebody? You're going to go hear Ollie speak and then you're going to get it? No.
It's the opposite. I think you keep hoping that you'll run across that verse that says Tom's okay or Harry's okay. Or
you do. Every day, every time you read it, that's what you do. If you didn't do that, you couldn't stay alive. Did I say go to Proverbs 4 yet?
Yes.
Go to Proverbs 4.
Missed it by that much.
You just had to take a left for about three pages.
You'll get it next time.
You
will never stop saying
that. I want you to try to capture this, to to see that there is absolutely nothing that you can do to improve yourself. There is nothing that you can do to realize yourself. There's no understanding that you're going to have to get it until you come to the total end. Start in verse 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Now, again, the predicate for this is that the way you're going and what you're doing is His will, not yours. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked or the wicked one. And go not in the way of the evil one. Avoid it. Pass by it. Turn from it. Pass away. Notice, it doesn't say, instruction is singular and the evil one is singular. So there's no list of instructions. There is only instruction. There is only the path. And there are not many evil ways. There's only the evil one. There's not many idols. There's only one. There's not many gods. There's not many things that are important. There's only one. If you love, if you give breath to the Lord, that your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, if you love the Lord with all, which means give breath, then there's nothing else. That is the path. That is the way, because it's Him. But no matter what it is, I don't care what it is, whether it's finance or English or fixing a house or changing a light bulb or on and on and on and on, we always want instructions for that issue. We want a way of doing this and a way of doing that right and a way of doing not doing this evil and a way of avoiding that wickedness. And so I love it when we people deal on issues. I'm dealing with X. Well, as long as you're dealing with X, that means you think there's a Y. And so you're not dealing with wisdom, you're dealing with foolishness, with evil, with And you can't deal with one of them do you understand there's only one evil? The evil one? You? You can't, as long as you're trying to fix something about you, then you're going to still give life to him, to the evil one. There's only one good, the Father. But as long as you think some other path is good and something else is good, then you will automatically leave the Father for that. That's why there's so much idolatry. How many of you know what you're going to do today? Everybody.
No, I only think.
Let's go back to Proverbs. Now we're in verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked or the wicked one, and go not in the way of evil. Avoid it. Pass it by. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Keep and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Now, that's a pretty big statement. What is it to eat the bread of wickedness?
It's like the false abdomen or something.
Everybody does it. That's why the opposite of it is the afkamen, the communion, if said right. But everyone eats the bread of wickedness and drinks the wine of violence. From God's perspective, maybe not from yours. You don't think that's wicked or that's violent. So the alternative to what everybody does 24 hours a day, eating the bread of wickedness and the wine of violence, is, blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth bread from the earth. Again, that takes your will out of the picture. You're gone. And blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth or createth the fruit of the vine. Again, you're gone. You can't say the afkamen without having died to self. And everything else from God's standpoint, all the things, remember the bread is what you gain sustenance and satisfaction from. And the wine is what gives you worth. What is your worth? It's always comparative. And therefore, it's always violent. Is anybody understanding? There are not many evils. There is an evil one. There are not many good. There's one good, which is the Father. There are not many plans. There's only one plan. Let's go back. Let me put it another way. There are not many wills. There's not many free wills. There's only one will in the earth, and that's the will of the evil one, self for self. The only will that exists that we want something to do with is the Father's will. And Jesus Christ submitted himself at every juncture. He didn't do anything except submitted himself to the Father's will. Now, this will destroy everything about you. Because you will go and think, well, this is what I got to do, and this is what I'm going to do here, and what you're doing, it sounds right, all the right words, but it's doing it, it's eating the bread of violence. Or even the bread, eating the bread of the wicked, what does it say? I forgot. Eating the bread of wickedness and drinking the wine of violence. Because it's a predetermined course of action. I hope you understand. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked one is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Now, let's go look at the last words of David. I always like last words. Not because, no, never mind. I didn't say that right. These are the words. This is the last thing that David said before he died. Let's go to 2 Samuel 23. Oh, it says that. No, these are the last words. Everybody there? Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God, of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, and a morning even without clouds. Now, I don't believe that all these scriptures about shining and light are metaphorical. I believe they manifest because they did in the scriptures. So then what is keeping his people today from being as this shining light? And that's the question. I believe that it's self for self. It's all of the thousands and thousands of things that you've learned to do automatically in order to survive. They've all served their purpose, but now they must be gone. Even the desire for more of God. Whatever is a gain to you is a loss to Christ. Can you hear that? We must suffer the loss of all things. These all things, I mean, the material stuff is that's duck soup. That's easy. Any idiot can lose all things. But what the all things, the possessions of yours that you are holding dear in the temple, the gold and the silver that have defined your life, those must be, you must lose all things. Your ideas of glory, your ideas of redemption, all must go so that the vessel is empty, so that the temple is prepared for him for whom the temple was created. And he then alone is the shining light. He alone is the light that's brighter than the light. He alone is the light for which the light we see is only the garment. But it costs you everything. And it can be instant or it can be slow and painful. But as long as you're continuing on the path of your own glory and your own redemption, and even the ones you don't remember, even the ones and the things that defined you before that you've forgotten about, that have become so natural, they're as natural as breathing. You know, I can look at some of you and you wilt. Why? Or I can't say anything. I'm just silent. It's because all these things were done, they're habit patterns that were formed to protect you. And they all have to go. So that you return to the kind of dependence. Really, all those things, they're not only your own redemption, all of them are leaven. It's interesting when, and I don't know if you guys study this, but, you know, Esther went into the king and said, you know, if I perish, I perish on the 14th day of the first month. But on the 13th day of the first month, she prepared herself. And so on that day that she prepared herself, the day that could have been 10,000 years, that day is when the day that she removed the leaven. So that she could come empty and poor in spirit before the king. So that his light would shine in her. And that would be the only light. None of these lights that we have kindled. It's not an accident that the, you know, this cartoon symbol for an idea is a light bulb. Everybody worships it. Oh. But it's walking in the light that you have kindled. It's your light for the path to avoid the darkness of your soul. So you create a light in your mind so that you can walk and climb safely up those seven mountains of your mind and go up there with your eye of newt and hair of dog and mix it in the cauldron to come up with a new light instead of this total 100% dependence, the if I perish, I perish dependence on the Father. And if you study and look at the life of Christ, that's all that he ever did. Walk in the light that you have kindled, and this shall you have at my hand. You shall lie down in sorrow. Now, this is all to me part and parcel of becoming empty before Passover so that we can go in for the betrothal, just as Esther did. I'm using some rollover minutes. Anybody have anything to talk about? Anything that they'd like to say? Anything?
I was thinking about the bread of wickedness as leaven. Anything else besides the bread?
Yeah, it's everything.
Yeah.
What?
All the instruction, I was thinking, is just all. Instruction in repentance, instruction in death. It's not instruction to add to your understanding or your wisdom.
You remember in Proverbs, it's the contrast between Christ and the evil one, or in us, between the bride and the whore. So he was instructed by what? By proving that living in 100% dependence on God would end up getting you killed. No, would prepare the way, would be the way. And everything in our minds say, no, that's not right.
Surely there's a different way.
Yeah, if God loved her, how can you know that?
Anybody else up there?
But he is the way. You've got to hear this. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's never, ever, ever going to teach you the way. He's never, ever, ever going to show you the light. He's never, ever, ever going to reveal to you the truth. He's never, ever, ever going to give you peace, because he is the light. He is peace. He is truth. He is the way. And in him, everything is finished. Without him, you're dead. In him, you're dead too, but that's another story. And you then fulfill your destiny. You were why you were born. Anybody else? All right, take it, big guy.